Okay. Having at least somewhat surmounted our technical difficulties for a change, we will start Bezos Hashem. Okay. We've moved into the 3 weeks. We've moved into the 3 weeks, and the 3 weeks is a time that has to be properly appreciated. Otherwise, what often ends up happening is that we kind of move through the 3 weeks with this unclear feeling. It's hard to really, really feel mourning for something that we never experienced. As conscientious people, we feel like we should be feeling mourning. But we don't know exactly how to do that. We don't know exactly what we should be mourning for. So it often just ends up more like a tense, stressed time with little feelings here and there of connection. So let's put in a little bit of effort to appreciate a little bit more the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, in a way that it is relevant to us. And to understand that actually this period of time in the year is a very, very fundamental time in our spiritual lives. And that is to understand as follows. This can be expressed in a number of different ways. This can be expressed in a number of different ways. If we want to express it the way the Shem Yishmuel expresses it, I'll say it as follows. I'm gonna go a little bit Kabbalistic here without actually understanding what I'm talking about. Hashem Yishmuel brings from the Zohar. Hashem Yishmuel brings that every month has its way. It's another expression of Hashem's oneness, just like everything in the world is. And every month, where is the Hashem Yishmuel? I'll have to find it afterwards. Remind me. And every month has its combination. You take the letters Yud K Vav K, and it's written, each month has a different combination of those letters. The letters are written in a different order. The letters for the month of Tammuz are written exactly backwards. Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. Exactly backwards. What's the understanding of that? So this is how the Shem Yishmuel expresses it, but this is really a very, very fundamental point that really goes all across the board. He says that, whereas, take the months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. The months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan in our history are months that reflect Hashem revealing himself to us, Hashem reaching out to us, Hashem making himself known. How does that work? Nisan doesn't require much elaboration. Neither does Sivan, right? These are the grandest, most magnificent months of Hashem revealing himself to our world, revealing himself to us. No elaboration needed for Nisan and Sivan. But also for Iyar. Iyar is the month of the Mon. It's the month when we experienced Hashem very, very openly caring for us in the Midbar. These were all months of intense, sublime, divine revelation. So this is what the Sfarim call Hashem from his end reaching out, so to speak, making himself known, so to speak. Then comes Tammuz. Tammuz, it works different. This is not Hashem reaching down. These months are about us reaching up toward him. That's why it's the letters are backward. Instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the letters descending from on high down into our world, which is the natural order. Here it's Hey Vav, Hey Yud. It's us reaching up toward the upper worlds. It's us reaching up toward the upper worlds. Now, what does all that mean? Now, I want to stress that this is how the Shem Yishmuel puts it, but this is the point, whether it's expressed this way or that way, is something that's expressed across the board. That this is, in a very large sense, the essence of what's going on in these 3 weeks. Now, what is the understanding of that? What does this mean in practical terms? You said it in esoteric terms. What does this mean in practical terms? So the following is a mashal, which I think expresses it perfectly, which I heard from Reb Hillel Horowitz years ago in Beis Tfila, downstairs in the basement, when that was the Beis Medrash, before, when it was all gray. Reb Hillel Horowitz gave a mashal, which I have since come to see as mamish, what encapsulates the essence of this whole period that we call Bein HaMitzarim, and which really, really illustrates its significance. And this is something that you see all over the place. He said as follows. He said there was a Rebbe who was walking through the street with his Talmidim, with his Chasidim, and they came across a little girl who was crying. And he asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she said that she was playing hide and seek with her friends, with a whole group of friends. And they always used to play hide and seek, and they were the standard hiding places, but now she found a hiding place that was like a complete chiddush. Nobody else had ever used this hiding place. Nobody else had ever hid there before. And she was very excited that nobody's going to find her. So she hid in this hiding place. And indeed, nobody found her. They found the first girl. They found the second girl. They found the third girl. Finally, all the girls are found except her. And they're searching for her. And nobody can find her. Until finally, you know what happened? They got bored of it. After about 5 minutes, her excitement is mounting up. Her excitement, her success, her suspense is mounting. And finally, the girls decided this is getting boring. They went off. They started a different game, a game of something else. They started playing jump rope or something. And they left her sitting in her great hiding place with no purpose. Nobody's looking for her. That's it. They lost interest in her. They forgot about her. So that's why she was crying. So, okay, this Rebbe consoled her. Maybe he gave her a candy. I don't know. Yes, great men carry candies in their pockets for such needs. But whatever the case is, fine. Consoled her. Moved on. All right. After that, his Talmidim saw that he was very, very preoccupied, almost like perturbed. And he said to them, he said, "Now I finally really understood what the tragedy of the Churban is. What the tragedy of the Churban is. Hashem hid himself, so to speak, kiviyachol. For what purpose? So that we should look for him, so that we should seek him out, so that we should come and say, we can't bear to be without you. But then what happens? What happened? We settle into life the day after. We adapt, as we've been seeing. Human beings can adapt to anything, even the most unthinkable things. And we moved on. And you know what? Life is okay without it also. Life is okay like this as well." And that's the big tragedy. Hashem is left there waiting. Hashem is left there waiting for us to look for him, for us to go and seek him out. And it's not happening. That, he said, is the tragedy of the Churban. Now let's understand this. Let's understand this. Let's understand. Let's actually back up into the reality of those great days. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah residing among Klal Yisrael was a given. The Beis HaMikdash was a given. The Karbanos were a given. Nevuah was a given. All of the different features, all the different aspects that made those times into a completely different reality than our times, these were all given. Couldn't be otherwise. And the problem was that the deterioration was settling in. And yes, the Jews had the Beis HaMikdash, Shethol the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and along with that, they were starting to drift in all kinds of different directions. And they were starting to get themselves sunken into things that they shouldn't be sunken in. And Hashem started sending warnings with the Nevi'im. I would imagine that the warnings of the Nevi'im had an effect, but not enough of an effect. And Hashem was saying, "Rabbosai, you have me living here with you. You have me living here with you, but you're drifting away from me. Our relationship is losing its meaning. It's completely external. It's just that, yes, I'm here, you're here, but on the contrary, your lives don't reflect the life of living with me. And Hashem started sending an unthinkable message. I will leave. The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. I have to realize that the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed in those times was something completely unthinkable. To such an extent that when Yirmiyahu came and said it, they persecuted him. How could he say such terrible things? The Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, they wanted to kill him. But then Hashem saw really what was going on was that the Jewish people were drifting. Hashem felt that he was losing the Jewish people and that he had to take a shocking step in order to bring them back to him. He had to take a shocking step in order to bring them back to him. And therefore, he left. He left. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Klal Yisrael became completely hefker. Klal Yisrael without Hashem is completely vulnerable, completely hefker, completely at the mercies of the people around them. And the shock was unbelievable. The shock was unbelievable. But it had the effect that it needed. At least initially. The people were shaken out of this reality. They suddenly understood that no, having Hashem among us is not a given. And they were shaken out of that reality. And suddenly they understood that now if they want to be back with Hashem, yes, they have to now reach out for him. They have to find him. Now it's already not a given. It's already not something that Hashem provides in an automatic way. If you want it, you have to reach out for it. And now, you know what? You have to do that without all of the different things that we considered such basic parts of a relationship with Hashem. Now, there is no Beis HaMikdash, which provides you with an automatic connection. Nevuah departed. Nevuah was such an inherent part of what Judaism was. Judaism without Nevuah, the live word of Hashem, was the spirit pulsing in Klal Yisrael. How can you have a Jewish people without the live word of Hashem? But you know what Hashem said? Hashem said, you have to realize that a relationship with me is something that you have to earn. And now I'm moving you into a period of time where you have to bring it out within yourselves. I'm not there just ready for the taking. You have to now reach out for me. If you want a relationship with me, you have to create it. You have to reach out for it. And this is expressed in like we said before, the Shem Yishmuel, the reaching from the bottom up, the Shem spelled backwards. We're the ones forming it. Instead of it coming from the top, from up on high down into our world, we are the ones who now need to be forming it from where we are, working our way up. This is the essence of the Bein HaMitzrayim. Now, it really goes more than that. We're going to break it down one step at a time. But this is the challenge of these days. This is the challenge of this period. Are we capable of going ahead without the training wheels, without all the crutches? These were very, very glorious crutches. Without all of the different aspects of Hashem manifesting himself in a very live way, in a very tangible way in our lives. Now, can we, in the darkness, without seeing any of it, create and maintain and breathe life into a very real, vital, tangible relationship with Hashem? If we can do that, that will constitute the basis. That will be the basis for Hashem bringing it back and founding it on that relationship that we created once we can prove ourselves capable. So you have to appreciate that this is Galus. Galus is not just a time of stagnation. It's not just this completely bedieved time in our history when really Judaism is off until it gets turned back on. In a sense, that is what it is. But there's an undercurrent. There are workings under the table that are very, very much about us. And on the contrary, Yezu the Kuzari says that if we're capable of doing this, he says that the door after Mashiach comes, will look back at us, at the door that was applying themselves to it in this way. They'll look back at us and they'll say, how could they possibly have done it? we don't appreciate now in our times, we don't appreciate what it means to hold on to the emuna when we don't have it live. But the truth is that it's something heroic, especially at our in our times now, when we're mamish already worn down by so many years of galus, so many years of trouble, so many years of darkness, when our emunah has mamish been challenged, our emunah has mamish been put through the grind and worn down, and litzareinu, so many people have already just let go throughout the long ordeals, the tough grind of history. But on the contrary, that is mamish what gives our role in history immense meaning. Meaning that after so long, there are people who are saying, who are reaching out and saying, that's right, I don't see it in a live way. I don't see it in a tangible way. I am going to create that live, vital, tangible relationship. And this, like the Kuzari says again, the people after the Dor of Mashiach are going to look back and say, how could they possibly have done it? Will be held up on a pedestal as the people who are able to do that from within themselves without having the open glow of Nevuah, that open live channel of communication with Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash and everything that went along with it, that made a life of spirituality something very, very real and tangible. We might even say the word material. It was even material. Life with the Shekhinah among us was something that can be experienced in a very, very material way. This is something that deserves elaboration. Also, I hope that over the next coming weeks we'll do this. But this is really point number one. This is really point number one to understand that we are talking about a very, very fundamental mission. And the mourning is very, very much about, it's not just about remembering things of the old, but it's very, very much about we're mourning for the purpose of appreciating what we should have and what we should be working for, what we should be working toward. But it's all with this understanding that the purpose of it all is for us now to be building it through our own efforts. And that's why it seems ironic to note that in the Dinim of Avelus, the Tisha B'Av is actually the day before the Churban, or to put it more accurately, the Beis HaMikdash burnt down on the 10th of Av, not on the 9th of Av. It was set on fire toward the evening of the 9th. Toward the evening of the 9th. And then it burned throughout the 10th day. Now, what do? We make the day of mourning the 9th. And not only that, but the primary mourning is in the morning. The morning is in M-O-R-N, right? The early hours of the day. Chatzos hits. Everything eases to an extent, right? The dinim are, the halachas are, that in the morning, you have to be exclusively focused on the morning, M-O-U-R-N. It says in halacha, very, very strong things. You're not allowed to leave shul. Why? During the kinnis. First of all, let's actually start backwards. You're not allowed to leave shul during the kinnis. It's not because you need to be in the kinnis all the time. We say kinnis until chatzos, because until chatzos is supposed to be solely focused on the korban. How do we do that? By saying kinnis until chatzos. And therefore, the halacha is that you're not supposed to leave shul until then. Why? So that your focus should not be distracted. Until chatzos, you're not supposed to be preparing anything for the nighttime. You're not supposed to be dealing with food. Nothing. Why? Because the focus is supposed to be exclusive. After chatzos, we start relaxing it a little bit. You really don't have to be busy with kinnis. You can get up off the ground. At this point, you could start preparing food for the night. And once the night hits, Tisha B'Av is over. Now is when the Beis HaMikdash is really, the flames are flying high. And therefore, you know what? The Shla actually says that the Chasidim of old, they used to fast for 2 days, for the 9th and for the 10th. And we have dinim that go on into the 10th in order to commemorate this. But these are minhagim, these are not ikar adin. We have dinim that go into the 10th, right? On Motzei Tisha B'Av, And until midday of the 10th, we're still not supposed to be eating meat and wine. We're still not, we don't launder and we don't shave, etc. Until midday of the 10th. But essentially, we see that actually the Avelu starts easing once the Beis HaMikdash is actually burning. The primary Avelus is leading up to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. But it comes back to this understanding. It comes back to this understanding that once the Beis HaMikdash was burnt down, the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, or put it this way, the moments preceding the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, those are really what manifested our lowest point. The Shekhinah had to go away in order to give us that push to start building within ourselves. And once that happened, we moved into a period of mission. We're certainly still mourning. But once the Beis HaMikdash is burned, now we move past it and we move into a period of mission. The Galus is a mission. The Galus is a mission to see what can we make out of it. What can we show Hashem in terms of, you took yourself away from us, Kaviyachol. Here is a relationship that we managed to build through our own efforts, without you handing it to us on a silver platter. That is, and therefore, on the contrary, once we understand that mission, the mourning is M-O-U-R, mourning eases. It eases as we focus on beginning to rebuild. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, this is where our focus is now. Again, we're not letting go of the mourning, M-O-U-R. The mourning is there for us to appreciate what we should have, what we lost because we weren't holding on to it properly, and what we are working toward. But it's very important to understand this, that this is a very, very important mission, a glorious mission, we might say, not a time of stagnation, not a time of just sitting and reflecting on what was, but it's reflecting on what was for the purpose of having a goal and the efforts that we're going to be putting in. And then on the contrary, the 3 weeks, as we'll elaborate more, Bezus Hashem, over the coming weeks, Bli Neder. Even if Bezus Hashem Mashiach comes in the interim. Because on the contrary, as we'll get to, but we will focus in these weeks, on the contrary, on finding ourselves on this map of where are we in our relationship with Hashem, understanding that we're not waiting for Hashem to come and collect us, but we're going to be reaching out to Him. We're going to be creating it, so to speak, Kiviyochel, on our own terms. And then we'll be zeichet to see Hashem recognize our efforts and take bimashra shchinah, so bring back His shchinah on top of the building that we did through our own efforts, Bezos Hashem. Should be a good Shabbos. And through what we've discussed, may we see these days indeed be turned l'sasa n'l'simcha b'mehera b'yameinu. A good Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.